It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hello. Good morning. Hello. Good morning. Hi. Well, man. Good morning. Hello. Hey, Jay. Good morning. Ask me how last night's vote went.
How last night's vote go?
I can't recall. I've been saving that. Sorry.
Okay, for how long? Like, take me through that process. When did that percolate in your mind, and when were you like, oh, I cannot wait to open the show with this?
Oh, it was late last night. I was lying in bed, probably. Yeah, hey, ask me what I think of last night's election.
Hey, what do you think of last night's election?
Some people call it elder abuse. No. That's for the thumbs down guy on the YouTube.
Did you notice anybody that in the polling lines?
Did I what?
Did you know anybody in the polling lines?
In the polling lines?
Yeah.
No.
I knew some.
That's over the top, dude.
That's off the top of the dome.
Welcome in. Good morning, everyone. We like to start off with...
You got anything for Kevin Falconer? No.
More like Kevin Falconer. Jeez.
Not bad.
Top of the head is not that great. We like to start the day by making everyone angry with just a little bit of political humor.
Humor, guys.
No one's being serious. Everybody just, everybody just calm down. Good morning.
We're just socializing, or all you like to say, socialisting. here in the state capitalism of California.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm on fire.
You are. Just 1-800-920-1140. 916-339-1140 is when you can, it's how you can text.
What do you call a Russian?
What?
Communist.
What do you call a what?
A Russian.
What do you call a Russian?
Uh-huh.
A communist?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
They're communist.
Not anymore.
They used to be.
That's Justin Marshall.
You started it.
280 Commerce Circle, Sacramento.
Just putting quotes, Tent City. They'll know where we're at.
Sometimes we laugh so we do not cry. I don't care about the election yesterday. What I do care about is we lost a giant, and I'm not talking about football or baseball in the world of comedy yesterday. Norm Macdonald passed away after a many, many years bout with cancer that he kept secret. He kept to himself, which is certainly his right. And if you know Norm at all, exactly what you would expect out of Norm Macdonald. Listen, we've had, somebody said something yesterday that really stuck with me. They said, when you're younger, you're overwhelmed with all the things that you get. As the older you get, you're overwhelmed with all the things that get taken away.
Yes.
And that really stopped me in my tracks. And I want to celebrate Norm, not mourn him, although I think you can do both at the same time. Norm was a guest multiple times on the Don Geronimo show when I was on there. We had a chance to visit with him and then go to Napa to see one of his shows that night. And,
ew, Napa.
Yeah, I know, right? Norm in Napa. And
that sounds like a comedy.
Right.
An actual comedy movie.
And a good friend of mine yesterday, she texted me because she had seen me tweet about Norm Macdonald. And she said, I feel ashamed. I don't know Norm's work. And I avoided the instinct to go, are you a cave person? Like, how is this possible? And she asked me for some links to Norm. And I didn't, she asked, what movie should I watch? And I gave her the best advice as a lifelong Norm Macdonald fan that I could, which was don't watch any movies yet. Because Norm's career was so unique. Yeah. You had Dirty Work and you had Billy Madison and you had all these different...
Billy Madison was my real introduction to Norm Macdonald as a kid.
But Norm wasn't, to me at least, and feel free to disagree, people. I never thought of Norm as a movie guy, and I never thought of Norm as a stand-up guy. I thought of Norm as the guy that got invited to the party, usually a talk show or a panel show or a roast or whatever. He just showed up and did his thing and killed and got out.
Yeah, he collected his check and was like, I'm good.
He was, I think, along with, I put him exactly in the category of people like Robin Williams, Charles Grodin, when I talk about when you would see their name on the talk show guest list for that night, whether it was Carson or Letterman or Arsenio or you know, even now Kimmel
Conan.
Conan and Norm MacDonald had the closest relationship. You watched or you DVR'd it or you taped it. But I didn't, and I still don't think the best way to appreciate Norm is through movies or stand-up. I think the best way to appreciate Norm is little anecdotes like this one. This one with Larry King.
Something people don't know about you.
I'm a deeply closeted gay guy.
No kidding.
Well, I'm not coming out, though.
Wait a minute. What are you revealing here today?
I'm not revealing anything. I'm saying I'm deeply closeted.
Well, that means you're gay.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Why would I say that? I'm deeply closeted.
No, but that means you're very, very gay, but you don't want to come out. You're so closeted.
That I refuse to say I'm gay.
Right.
Exactly.
But that, doesn't that mean you're gay?
Hey, easy, buddy.
Larry King had no idea.
That's just mean, but it's brilliant.
It's... Because
he knows Larry's just going to be like, huh? R.I.P. Larry.
Absolutely. Yeah, R.I.P. Larry. Absolutely brilliant. And that was generally Norm, was it would be so simple and easy, and the joke would be above half the people's heads.
Yeah.
And then you'd get it. Here's Norm MacDonald crashing the press conference for Blake Griffin's Rookie of the Year.
It's just the delivery, the cadence.
It's
nobody else could pull that off.
It's almost, you know, Gilbert Gottfried and Chris Rock to me, although not obviously the exact same here, but they're two comedians to me that they make their base material funnier with their delivery. Obviously, Gilbert Gottfried is almost all delivery. He's just a cartoon character in itself. And Chris Rock is so, he emotes so well with his stand-up. Norm's the same way, to your point. You hear him, and you hear his voice, and you just, you laugh. One of my favorite examples of Norm MacDonald on a show, and we've got clips we'll spatter out throughout the day to remember Norm. We mentioned how close he was with Conan O'Brien. You may remember Courtney Thorne Smith from Melrose Place. I remember her from the movie Summer School with Mark Harmon. She was promoting on Conan O'Brien her new movie with Carrot Top. And Norm had been the previous guest and was sitting next to her on the couch. And again, Norm just doesn't care.
But he mentioned Carrot Top. You are making a movie with Carrot Top, right?
I made a movie with Carrot Top.
Okay. You made a movie with Carrot Top. It's not out yet.
No, it's not.
Can you put the
yet.
Picture up of Carrot Top again just so we can all see him? Oh, there it is again. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Wait a minute. She left Melrose Place to do a movie with Carrot Top?
What's the movie going to be called?
Really? I know what it's going to be called.
Yeah, what's that?
If it's got Carrot Top in it, you know what a good name for it would be?
What's that, Norm?
Box Office Poison.
Smith, the girl sitting to your left, is in the movie.
I'm gonna go see it for
fun. How do you steer everybody else away?
No, I love this girl. I would see any movie with this girl in it. She's a beautiful lady and a talented, nice talk show guest.
Okay. as evidenced by her appearance on our rival show. All right, well, there's this two-hour season finale of Melrose Place. There's this movie coming out.
Yes.
Title undetermined at this point.
Chairman of the board.
Oh, all right. Do something with that, you freak.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
Norm's ability to just absolutely kill the host he was on with was also a blast. He was the ultimate in making people break character. But here's another thing about Norm MacDonald. He once nailed all 50 states in a presidential election. I think it was 2000. It was either 2012 or 2016. Norm MacDonald, when they use the term genius for him, he was a genius. Like, he was so incredibly intelligent, and you hear that from all the people that worked with him. He just was off the charts funny, but also off the charts intelligent. You always say this way too early, but I think, what was it? It was either Conan or Adam Sandler said it the best. I've never laughed as hard as I've laughed at Norm MacDonald. I'll never laugh that hard again at anybody else. It is a loss, but the good news always when things like this happen, as much as it sucks, I enjoy seeing, like, my friend who texted me back and said, I'm going down the rabbit hole with this guy. He's one of the funniest people I've ever seen. The legend of Norm MacDonald will outlive his body. And I think today and yesterday, a lot of people have gotten to know or reacquainted themselves mm-hmm. with Norm MacDonald. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
Got a big show for you. The football week continues as it does each and every week. Eric Armstead of the 49ers joins us at 8:05. We'll break down what happened to that defense in the fourth. Look ahead to Philadelphia. Other Niner news as we get Raheem Mostert news, and it's most not great. The Giants and Padres, the A's, and so much more, including John Wall wanting out of Houston. Good luck, buddy. We'll get to all this next.
It's time for Leading Off, brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal. In the Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com. Here's cut number one.
2-1 is hit to left field. Wade back, stops short of the track, reaches up, makes a catch, ball game over.
I mean, those poor Padres.
Poor fathers.
Giants win. Dodgers win. Giants win. Dodgers win. Giants have won 9 in a row. Dodgers have won 5 in a row. Giants won 9-10. Dodgers won 7-10. It's a 2.5 game lead over the Dodgers. It's a 20.5 game lead over the Padres.
How many again?
20.5.
Are they eliminated from the division?
Let's see. With 17 games left, I believe they are. Even the Tampa Bay Rays, with the third best record in baseball, are 5 games back of the Giants. It is the Giants and it is the Dodgers. I don't know. The Giants still have 2 games left with the Padres. Be interesting.
It's not a bad thing at this point, right?
Yeah. I mean, but at some point, you got to think the Padres are due. That's just bad luck towards the end of the year. You run into the buzzsaw that is the Giants and Dodgers. And if recent history has any bearing on the future, it's not going to get much better for the Padres the rest of the year. It's like half their games are still against the Giants. I'm really, really interested in this Braves series for the Giants this weekend because the Braves and the Brewers handled the Giants about as well as anyone has last month. Really curious to see, with a little bit of momentum, how the Giants and we talked about this yesterday. There's no opportunity for the Giants to just, you clinch the division on September, 13th? 14th, whatever. There's no rest. Might be a good thing, so they're not rusty in the playoffs, but there's no rest.
I mean, think about, I don't remember 2012 and 2014 all that well, but I remember 2010 is, I believe the Giants won the division on the last day against the Padres. So they had momentum going into the postseason. And we've seen it time and time again in baseball, teams that clinch early, like in late August.
Yeah.
they struggle with momentum going into the playoffs, and it's teams that are playing and fighting towards the end of the season that kind of bring that in. So I don't think this is a bad thing for the Giants or the Dodgers that this battle for the NL West is extending this far into September.
I put out a comment yesterday on the social media saying it's asinine that the Giants and Dodgers, one of them, even the Dodgers, that one of them will have to play one-off wild card game and then move on to face each other.
God, they have to face each other, right? We have to have that.
Well, that's what's going to happen. If the Dodgers win, let's say the Dodgers are the wild card, they win their wild card game,
yes,
they face the Giants.
I'm saying we need that to happen, though. Like, baseball needs that. If we don't have that first-round matchup between the Giants and the Dodgers, it's a travesty.
The second-best team in baseball is going to have to face an elimination game to start their postseason. And then the second best or best team in baseball is going to be eliminated in the first round.
Yeah.
Not in the league, not in the division. The best teams in baseball, one of them is going home after the first round. When in fact, that's almost – it doesn't work like this, and I understand that, especially in baseball, but it's the de facto World Series when these two play each other.
Yes.
They're the two best teams.
Yes. And they don't even get seven games.
Anyways, I said it's asinine. I was met with more than a few people. So, what are you talking about? It's fair. It's how it works, dude. Can't change it.
Okay. No, you can. I promise you, you can.
100% can. It's ridiculous.
Screw division titles.
And it wouldn't happen in any other sport.
No.
What happened to the NFL? No, not in the same way. That's just stupid. All right, number two.
Leading off. Cut number two.
High fly ball left field. That should do it. Benintendi to his right. And the Royals' comeback is complete.
Well.
What a stinker.
I don't know, dude.
I'm just glad you finally come around to my thinking on the A's.
It was 5-0 A's after two. It was 6-3 after three. It was 7-4 after five.
It was 6-0 going into the bottom of the third.
And then the Royals score 4 in the sixth, 2 in the seventh. They beat the A's 10-7. The bullpen, not the Frankie Montas was.
Frankie Montas got hit pretty hard.
But Yusmeiro Petit got hit ridiculously. 4 earned in a third of an inning. When you come in and you give up more runs than you get outs, that's bad. When you give up 4 times the runs as you get outs, that's worse.
I can't argue any of those points.
It was the former Giants, really, that screwed the A's, because both Petit and Romo combined for 1 1/3 innings and gave up 6 earned. That's not great. Yeah. Now, listen.
By the way, they're playing the Royals.
There's another breakdown, dude.
This ain't the Astros, this ain't the White Sox, this ain't the Rays.
The A's do not have the money, nor do they have the ability necessarily. I mean, they do, but they're not spending the money. John Fisher, I get where A's fans are. It's fun, and it's all fun and games during the year, and then you just watch them fade.
At this point, A's fans' only glimmer of hope is that stadium, right? That's pretty much what you're watching in September, because this season is done.
Sadly. If this were a slower time of the year, I would love to talk to A's fans and ask them if you could have the A's stay in Oakland, but basically have the teams they've had for the last 15 years and the same style of team and transaction they've had for 15 years, or have them move to Vegas, but they're a top 10 payroll team every year, which would you choose? I actually think
that's an interesting question.
I'm not an A's fan, but I'm really curious to see how that. Now, instinctively, I think, oh, my God, I'd rather have them in Oakland and win 20 games a year than move. That's me as a Kings fan saying that. I don't know that A's fans would come down on that. So maybe we'll make that today's poll question of the day. Number three.
Leading off. Cut number three.
We have some breaking news here, and it's from Raheem Mostert, who just put on Twitter that he is done for the year, opting for season-ending knee surgery to repair a meniscus. He has battled injuries for a while now, and you see the look on his face there when he went to the sideline Sunday. Niners beat the Lions, but they are down a running back. Raheem Mostert out for the year.
Okay, so there's some things to talk about. I would say this. That sucks. It's terrible news. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You lost Raheem Mostert for the season. he will end the campaign averaging 10 yards a carry. I will also say that if this is the most devastating injury the Niners suffer all year long, I will take that as a Niner fan.
I don't think it is, though. I think Verrett's a more devastating injury. That's a great
point. I don't like comparing the two. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. Okay.
Given the lack of depth at quarterback.
I'll even rephrase that. If Mostert and Verrett are the worst injuries suffered, and yeah, you're right. Verrett is a killer. Okay. But you've now got them both out of the way after week one. You don't have any more room to move. Terrible news from both. Niners signed Kerryon Johnson, former Detroit Lion, Kerryon Johnson.
Carrying on his career to San Francisco.
That was too easy. That's the fruit, and you grabbed it, and boy, was it hanging low.
I actually had to, pick it up off the ground.
They have enough depth to where they're not going to have to deal with running back anxiety and worrying about if something else happens. And listen, you want to put a fine line between talking about injuries and anything else, but just like the running back depth, you also want to have propane depth. You don't want to have propane anxiety, you know. You can go to my friends at Cinch, C-Y-N-C-H, cinch.com. You know, the thing that sucks about Mostert, too, same thing with Verrett. You're talking about two guys that have dealt with injuries so much in their careers. We don't see the offseason work. We don't see what they do. We don't see the effort they put in, but they do. And then they come out and they get injured, and not only do they have to deal with it, they also have to deal with social media and people calling them soft and brittle and blah. Anyways, I feel so bad for Raheem, and I feel terrible for Jason. Cinch.com, though, will help you get through that cooler weather. Look at your weather on your phone. It is, hopefully and permanently, at least for the season, cooling down. That means fire pits. That means space heaters. That means, for many of you, even more grilling. Why more in the cooler months? Because you got football. You got baseball playoffs. Perfect time to grill. Cinch will take your old empty tanks and they will replace them with new ones, and they will leave them right on your front porch or on the side of your house, wherever you ask them to. That is easy. It's simple, and it's cheaper than the gas station. Even cheaper if you use promo code Dave and this is your first time using Cinch. Because your first exchange is just $10 if you use promo code Dave, but you got to put that in there, D-A-V-E. Not that you need it to be spelled for you. Cinch.com, C-Y-N-C-H, promo code Dave. Cinch.com, promo code Dave.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, just a couple of NBA notes. We got somebody struck gold with the Nuggets. And John Wall wants out of Houston. I'm really curious about this. Let's talk about Kentucky's John Wall. And let's do that next.
One is bald, the other completely lacks talent. And they're both here to entertain you. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
Can't believe the voice guy would say I completely lack talent.
That's mean-spirited.
It's just wrong. What'd I do to him?
What? Well, what didn't you do to him?
Whoa.
The same guy woke up early and still wants to argue Lamar Jackson.
Do you know why?
Because he needs to go outside.
Because he wants attention and he knows you'll give it to him.
Lord. I mean, I care about people. What do you want? I shouldn't. I shouldn't, but I do.
Important lesson I've learned in life.
Yeah.
Don't give people your energy when you have no emotional attachment to them.
I do have emotional attachment.
Not that guy you don't.
Oh, I got you. No, I do. He's a listener.
Nah, not on that level, you don't. YouTube chatters are different.
Yeah.
Like random guy that just wants attention.
Do not put YouTube chatters above other listeners.
Why?
That's insulting.
It's not insulting.
There are a lot of people that can't watch YouTube /KHCK.
But that guy's probably not even listening. And if he is, it's just to see if you'll acknowledge him. Anyway, why are we talking about this guy?
Well, guy with a ton of talent is John Wall. But unfortunately, not a lot of health with John Wall. Now, let's take a look at John real quick. The 6'3", 210-pounder out of the University of Kentucky.
Why did you introduce him like he's a fighter?
He's 31 years old. John Wall, And we're talking about either 82 or 72 game seasons, et cetera. John Wall, over the last 3 years, has played 41, 32, and 40 games. He played 40 games last year. He averaged just over 20 points and 7 assists. You know, decent numbers, except when you get to the fact that he shot 40% from the field.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's never been a great shooter. And that's fine. John Wall in his career has played 69, 66, 49, 82, 79, 77, 78. It's a great four-year stretch. 41, 32, and 40 games in 82 game, for the most part, seasons. We just talked about guys like Raheem Mostert and Jason Verrett. And you know, when you talk about blaming people for getting injured, I like John Wall. And I root for John Wall. But John Wall is the third highest paid player in the NBA.
I think the remainder of his deal is like 2 years and $97 million. It's some insane.
It's two years, $91, almost $92 million. He is set to make $44.3 million this year, behind only Steph Curry and James Harden. He's set to make $47 million, 47.4 if you round up, on a player option, which of course he will exercise next season.
Yeah, he'd be nuts not to.
And John Wall, who, by the way, is represented by the absolute most powerful agents there are, John Wall apparently has come to an agreement with the Rockets to work together to find a trade destination for him. So they've agreed to work with John Wall to find somebody who will take on John Wall and his 40 games a year. So for a half a season, when you really think about it, he plays half seasons. So that means John Wall is actually going to make $80 million next year. And the Rockets don't want to give up first-round draft compensation in a Wall trade and have no interest in discussing a buyout until after free agency. Apparently, he will participate in training camp. He'll be around the team while he remains on the roster. But much as we saw with in a lesser extent with Al Horford in Oklahoma City last year, he'll be around, but he's not playing for them anymore. According to a Rocket source, John has been a rock for us. He's been great since he got here. John wants to play in a more competitive situation. He doesn't want to go in a refill. I've got an idea. And call me crazy. I've got an idea. Tell the Rockets you'll void your contract. Now, wait for it. Tell the Rockets, you know, you've been paying me, as did the Wizards before you, a lot of money. And through no fault of my own, through bad luck, I have not been able to hold up my end of the bargain. You're paying for a full-year player. You're paying full-year player salaries. And I've been injured. And that's not my fault. And I'm not going to take the blame for that. I got injured trying to do my job. That's fine. But you also, at no point, were able to come to me and say, you know, John, expectations aren't shaking hands with reality, so instead of this $40 million, we're going to give you $20 million. Of course you can't do that. I've gotten every penny. I signed the contract. My eyes were wide open. I was not forced. I signed the deal. So that being said, and the fact that I have generational wealth now, I'm going to do you a service like you've done me, and I'm going to void the remaining $90 million on my contract. I'm then going to choose the destination I want. I can go to the Lakers or Nets, which we all know he's going to go to the Lakers or Nets. I can go to Philly.
Is he old enough to go to the Lakers?
He's in his early 30s, so he's on the... He's 31. He's going to be the baby. I'm going to void my contract, and I'm going to choose my destination, and I'm going to sign at what my market value is, which, let's be honest, let's say, obviously I'm being facetious, none of this will happen.
Yeah, but your Disney movie ending is super cute.
But just for fun, let's say John Wall voided his contract.
How about we do a more realistic option? Let's say there's a buyout.
I want to get either way. What's John Wall's market value?
Minimum
two,
deal.
Two years and $5 million?
No.
One year on the minimum?
1 year minimum.
Even a guy who averaged 20-8 last year, are we calling him basically the Hassan Whiteside of guards?
I'm not going to go.
Great numbers? Is he empty calories?
I'm not going to go as far as empty calories, okay. But again, that's 20 points on a really bad Rockets team where he had plenty of opportunity to get those 20 points. But remember, it's on 40% shooting, shooter here.
Yeah.
And I think John Wall, because he's going to want to go to a contender. There's no contenders with any cap room.
No, there's one guy in the league pretty much you could trade for John Wall, and he just got traded to the Lakers. His name's Russell Westbrook, and they've already been traded for each other.
Yeah, not going to happen. So here's what the bottom line is this. Unless the Rockets attach a lot of assets to him, which, as you pointed out, they don't want to do, they're going to have to find a buyout. But, man, what's the buyout number going to be when you have $92-ish million left on your deal? I mean, we saw Blake Griffin who had – I don't remember what was left on Blake's deal, but it was an astronomical number, and he took a pretty big buyout from Detroit last year.
Sure.
I'm thinking this is going to be akin to that. And then to your point, John Wall will probably go sign in either Brooklyn or the Lakers.
I'm so tired, dude. Listen, I almost always come down on the side of the players, almost like 98% of the time. But then I see the Kevin Loves of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you know they're dogging it, just like Blake dogged it. You assume John's probably dogging it, though it doesn't seem like it.
Kevin Love's was the most obvious, though, wasn't it?
It's so bad.
It was really bad.
And if I'm the NBA, governors, that's one of the first things I'm going to the table with is, hey, listen, maybe I'm here to raise overall salaries. I have no problems with players making their share of the BR basketball related income, all that stuff. Let's have the players make more money. That's awesome. But we need to get on top of the whole everybody gets a buyout and goes and plays, because they're basically getting paid super good money, not as much, but almost as much, and they make it up in endorsements to go to the Lakers, to go to the Nets.
Yeah.
We need to stop that.
No, the buyout market is awful.
It's
one of the worst things in the NBA, and it's gotten really bad over the last decade to all the points you just said. These guys say, I don't want to play in this situation anymore. And again, they have their right to have their contract bought out. It's in the CBA. It's not like they're doing anything against the rules. But
if you don't want to play in the situation, then stop taking the money.
Yeah, I agree.
Guess
in
what?
In principle.
If I don't want to be at KHD, and I know this is different, and I hate when people make real-world comparisons, but hey, here I go, being a hypocrite. If I don't want to be at KHDK anymore, I'm not going to sit back and say, hey, pay my contract out, and I'm just going to tank on the air. Although some would argue that's what I'm doing, but I want to be here. And it's not how the world should work. Chris wants to know what buying out a contract means. All right, Chris, let's say you play basketball. You have two more years left on your contract at $10 million a year. You want out, we want you out, but we can't find a trade market for you. So in order to release you from your contract and free you to go sign wherever you want, maybe instead of paying you the remaining $20 million on your deal, we cut it in half. You take a $10 million hit and we pay you $10 million. And then now you can go make even more money or as much money if you can somewhere else for 2 years. So you're getting a free $10 million, basically. You're giving up $10 million, and now you've been bought out. Your contract's been released due to mutual agreement, and now you can go sign wherever you want. All right, we'll take a break. No, really.
It was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, a lot of NFL today, obviously. Eric Armstead at 8:05. We'll get to baseball at 7:40. Obviously, Soundgarden 3 for Madness to lead off the 7 a.m. But let's just do some last-minute NFL news and notes. We've got COVID rearing its ugly head. We've got injuries, not just for the Niners. Let's get you a Raider injury update as well. We're back in a couple.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
These people talk endlessly, incessantly. They have a very high number of words per minute.
On Sports 1140 KHCK.
Chris Biederman, which happened to be beat writer for the Niners, will join us tomorrow at 8:05.
Sacramento Biederman.
Remember, 8:05 every morning, you get Niners coverage. Sean Salisbury will cover the league on Tuesdays. Eric Armstead today at 8:05. Greg Papa, the voice of the Niners, at 8:05. The one exception there, 7:35. Dave Richard every Friday will get your fantasy teams locked and loaded. I know everybody cares about this. Did you win any of your fantasy games?
The victor.
Look at you.
Was me.
Look at you. Elijah Mitchell.
I'm sweating it out, though. I was only up two, and I got that. I needed Robert Woods to get that touchdown late in that Rams game.
Yeah, Hollywood Brown helped me out, too. I was in the same position you were. Elijah Mitchell, the most expensive waiver wire pickup, according to Dave Richard, most leagues. We'll see. And there's a lot of people sitting with Trey Sermon going, well, hold on here. If you'd have told me Raheem Mostert was out for the year, I'd have felt really... If you knew going into fantasy football drafts that Raheem Mostert would play two snaps and be out for the season, what round would Trey Sermon have been drafted? Third?
Third,
second,
fourth?
Second? Fourth?
Third or fourth.
I mean, and then he's third on the depth chart. Yes, you drafted Trey Sermon.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
But you ready?
No. Nope. No.
You are. If you have Trey Sermon on your fantasy team,
mm-hmm.
you better pray he gets his act together.
This sermon, right? I could make a really good segue here. I'm not going to.
Okay.
The Players Association determined Josh Gordon has successfully completed. See the whole act together thing?
But, yeah.
He has completed his NFL monitor treatment. They have recommended to the league he be reinstated. He is awaiting final approval from Roger Goodell. He is 30 years old. He says he is vaccinated and ready to play. I mean, put it out
on that.
Right. Yeah. So.
Okay. Can I say it?
Go ahead.
Who's going to sign Josh Gordon at this point?
Someone.
This is no.
That's my answer.
I think we have reached the breaking point with Josh Gordon.
All right. Little side bet. I don't feel terribly passionate about this.
Neither
but
do I.
Bet you a dollar.
Okay.
Bet you a dollar in NFL. I'll bet you a dollar he plays in NFL down this year. Not even just that he signed. I'll bet you he plays in NFL down.
I'll raise you $4. Bring it to $5. That he doesn't play in NFL down. And he will appear at some point in either the USFL or the XFL.
You don't think he plays it down?
No.
You want to bet $5 on it?
$5.
I don't really care about this. But I'm rooting for Josh Gordon.
I didn't say I wasn't.
I'm like you.
Wow. Just going to paint me with that brush, huh? The anti-Josh Gordon guy?
I'm going to take the bet.
Okay.
I'm going to take the bet. $5, he plays it down. New Orleans Saints. Couple of things here. The New Orleans Saints have had 8 members of their organization test positive for COVID. That calls in calls into question their status for Sunday's game against the Panthers. I guess, you know, you don't like to say, hey, the good news when you're talking about COVID, but from a purely football standpoint, the good news is that the total includes 6 offensive coaches, a nutritionist, and 1 player.
The nutritionist?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. But obviously, if you're going to lose a member of the organization for a game, the nutritionist is probably high on the list of people you want to lose for that game.
Not the 6 offensive coaches, though.
Obviously, we all hope and pray that they recover fully and quickly. The Saints also placed an already hurt Michael Thomas on the reserve COVID-19 list. So, there you go there. Anyways, I won't go through the protocols and this and that, but it goes on to say that they're going to be light, most likely, on offensive. I mean, that's a lot of offensive coaches, by the way.
It's a lot of offensive coaches. You already don't know where you're going to be playing your next home game. I don't think the Superdome's ready.
No, and also,
a lot going on in New Orleans.
I really find myself wondering this, though. I understand, like, if you had 6 players test positive for COVID and they can't play on Sunday, well, you got a practice squad. You don't have a practice squad for offensive coaches.
No.
So what do they do? I mean, that's a lot of coaches.
I mean, I think that just kind of falls on you. Probably divvy up the responsibility somehow, some way, right?
Is there, like, a world where you can sign coaches for a week to
bring Drew Brees back?
Something
to,
I don't know. I
seems to know the offense pretty well.
I would love to call Sean Payton and say, "What do you do?" That's got to be what half their offensive. I mean, that would be 12 offensive coaches alone, not to mention defensive coaches. They can't have 24 coaches.
What really hurts you is in the practice,
right?
For the game leading up. I mean, I'm sure they can manage when it comes to play calling come Sunday. But, yeah, during the week, you not having all your offensive coaches there, that can make a difference.
If you're a betting person, or if you're, more importantly, somebody who creates the lines, you know, the Saints are playing the Panthers this weekend, does that affect the line? Do you now,
it should.
Do you look at the Saints? This is a tougher game for them now, and does that actually push that issue on the number?
I would imagine. I don't know if it's gonna. I don't know if it's gonna push it a whole lot, but I'd imagine there's gonna be a little bit of movement.
A point.
hey, half a point of point, as we've seen too many times, can mean the world.
On the one more COVID note, Bills ownership has announced a new policy that will require all fans to be vaccinated to attend games at the not only the Bills stadium, but also where the Buffalo Sabres play. All fans 12 and up must have received at least one COVID shot in order to attend starting September 26th. That's 11 days from now against the Washington football team. That rule will expand to requiring all attendees over the age requirement to be fully vaccinated, starting with the Halloween game versus the Dolphins. They now become the fourth NFL team to ask fans to be fully vaccinated if they want to attend, joining three other teams, New Orleans, Seattle, and Las Vegas. Whereas the Saints and Seahawks will recognize a negative test as well. The Raiders, of course, do not. Of the four teams, only the Seahawks and Bills have outdoor stadiums. The rest have indoor stadiums. And I also find it interesting, too. It's a small sample size, but some of these places that are requiring fully vaccinated people, this does not line up with political party at all.
Well, Nevada for sure. Nevada is very moderate. It's very down the middle.
Louisiana is a fairly red state. Yeah. It's interesting how... It's interesting how ideologies become, and I'm not trying to go down the political road, just pointing it out that mm-hmm. ideologies become different and a lot of money is involved.
Yeah, no, I mean, money is always the great game changer, right? Yeah. Whether it's your political or social view, whatever your views are, when it comes to your pocketbooks, people all of a sudden, you know, get their act together.
Denzel Good, unfortunately for the Raiders, you know, we're talking a lot about Niner injuries. Denzel Good suffered a torn ACL in his left knee in the overtime victory. He is out for this season. He just signed a two-year deal worth $8.5 million in the offseason. 15 games last year, including a career-best 14 starts. And both John Gruden and Derek Carr said he was the team MVP last year. That is a significant loss for Las Vegas. Also, defensive tackle Gerald McCoy and Marcus Mariota are both going to, or at least the Raiders are concerned, both will be out long-term as well, if not for the entire season. So they were definitely banged up a bit.
Yeah, and, you know, if Mariota's out, you know what that means. You know what that means.
Is that Josh Peterman's music?
Who?
Who is it?
Nate Peterman.
Or Nate, what'd I say? Josh, Josh Peterman. Josh Peterman?
Josh Peterman's Nate's younger brother. He's a D2 quarterback.
Who is Josh Peterman? Why did I have that in my head? Anyways, we'll keep you up to date on Vegas Raider injuries as well. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
By the way, most difficult remaining strength of schedule. Speaking of, the Raiders have the third most difficult. You got to throw those out there, though, because we don't know how those teams are going to be later on in their schedule. Top of the hour, Soundgarden. We'll hear from Travis Kelce. Once again, Matt LaFleur and Matt Nagy on the Bears and R-E-L-A-X, I guess. We'll be right back.